Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Happy Mind, Happy Life Show with your host, Sheila Willis. As it has been said, as a man thinks, so is he. So when your mind is happy, your life is happy. You'll even discover that when your mind is happy, your money is right. When your mind is happy, your love life is right. When your mind is happy, even your relationships with your family, friends, and coworkers is right. When your mind is happy, you'll even get your business right. So tune in and let's talk about how to have a happy mind in order to have a happy life.
Hello, 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 everyone. This is Sheila Willis, your host of the Happy Mind, Happy Life Show. And as always, I am excited and happy to be here with you tonight, and as equally excited to have you here with me as well. So welcome, listeners, and glad that you tuned in tonight. And thank you to all of the faithful listeners out there, and then the new listeners out there. Thank you for being here as well. For our international listeners, I'm excited that you are here too. Tonight is September the 14th, and it is 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we are here with another live episode. And I'm flying solo tonight, per se, but tonight I'm wanting you, the listening audience, to call in and to be my guest tonight. I'm inviting you to call in and to share your heart on the subject that we're discussing tonight, or anything that's on your heart, questions, or what have you. You are my guest tonight. So I'm going to open up the lines in about another 10 to 15 minutes. Generally, what we usually do is that we have our discussion for an hour, and then I open up the lines the last 30 minutes for call-ins. But tonight I'm opening up the lines early because I want you to actually be the guest tonight, and that we will be able to discuss this particular subject or whatever is on your heart. So tonight we are talking about, and I do know that this show is somewhat different from the normal type of programs or shows or episodes that I generally have. Generally, we're in the vein of the motivational, inspirational type programs, but I feel that the subject that we're going to discuss tonight is very important, and it's just something I feel that we need to talk about. And tonight, our episode is on the desensitization of our children. And I'm wanting to talk about that, you know, that, you know, our children are being desensitized. And do you agree with that? Do you feel like that is so? And it's not just to me that they're being desensitized, but I'm wondering if this is something that is intentional. Is there a purpose behind this? And if so, who is it that's behind it? And what is the agenda, if there is one at all? So I would like for you to call in and address that as well. So again, our subject tonight, we're talking about the desensitization of our children. And the reason why I use that word rather than to say, are our children being desensitized, is because the desensitization is a process in which there is a diminished emotional response to a negative stimulus after repeated exposure. So we know that our children, and when I say children, I'm not just talking about small age children, but young adults as well. We know that there is so much negative stimulus in the things that they're involved in: movies, games, videos, music, social media, you know, all of these different things are filled with so much negativity, and they are being stimulated, you know, repeatedly, you know, to this. They're exposed to this repeatedly. And so is this something, is this a byproduct, or is this something that is a plan? You know, are our children intentionally being desensitized? This is what my heart, this is what I want to talk about tonight, and this is what is on my heart. And what sparked this topic of discussion, because as I say, it's a little different than the vein we usually flow in, but what sparked the discussion tonight was Kanika Jenkins, and I'm not sure if everyone is familiar with her story, but she is a young lady that was found in the hotel freezer on Friday in Chicago. And so it truly caught my attention and kind of pulled on my heartstrings for two reasons. One, because was a young lady, and because how everything went down, and because I am a mother, and I can only imagine what her mom or her parents and her siblings and her family is going through right now, you know. And so let me give you a little background on the story so you can better understand why I'm asking if our children are being desensitized. This young lady, Kanika Jenkins, allegedly her best friend invited her to a party. You know, nothing unusual about that for young people. She invited her to a hotel party. And what Kanika Jenkins did know, allegedly her best friend had made an arrangement with some guys to bring her to this party, they for exchange of $200, and she invited Kanika Jenkins to the party. Of course, Kanika didn't know that she had been set up, that she had basically been sold for these guys to have a good time. Now, this is how the story is going. Allegedly, she showed up at this party with her best friend. The guys had planned to get her intoxicated. Once she got intoxicated, they would do whatever, you know, they wanted to, or whatever was on their mind. But it didn't go down like that. Kanika Jenkins didn't get as intoxicated as I guess they had hoped that she would. And so they then forced it's being reported that they then forced themselves on her. And now, if it's not bad enough that this young lady was set up by her best friend, this part is just so cold to me and so callous to me that it just blows my mind. So while Kanika Jenkins is being allegedly attacked by these young men, her best friend that set her up and took her to this party for these guys was on Facebook Live. She did a Facebook Live. Can you believe that? She did a Facebook Live. That part is not alleged because you can go on Facebook and see the video for yourself. So she did a Facebook Live of herself at this party and these other people that were at this party. And somewhere during the Facebook Live, you could hear a voice. You know, people are saying that it was Kanika, but again, we're not absolutely sure. But you could hear a young lady's voice in the background. Saying stop, you know, stop and please stop. And then this voice is saying, help me, please, somebody help me, please. Her best friend who took her there, sold her, and then is making the Facebook Live, turns the music up to drown out what is being said in the background. I mean, really? Wow. Guys, that blows my mind. I mean, like I say, how callous can you be? How cold can you be? Number one, to set your friend up for $200. I don't care if it was $2,000, whatever, that you would set up your friend. And this wasn't somebody that Kanika Jenkins had just met. This was a young lady that she had known for a very long time. This was a young lady that she trusted. This was a young lady that was supposed to be her best friend. So, of course, she trusted her. Of course, she thought they were just going to the party to hang out and to have a good time, as young folk do. Now, I have my thoughts on the video as far as what type of party it seemed to be, because they were young adults. I don't feel, this is my opinion, I don't feel that they should have been at that type of party, but they were there. So because of the coldness of this young lady's heart, if this story is all true, because again, this is just bits and pieces, and we have the video and we have the different Facebook comments and remarks and whatever and what have you. The police is investigating. Nobody understands how she got from the hotel room to the hotel freezer. The hotel freezer was in the employee area. So how did she get to that area, you know, and to be found dead in a freezer? I read one report that the police said that they believed that she was intoxicated and she walked into the freezer and then she was too intoxicated to bring herself back out. I don't know if they made that statement before they watched the video or after they watched the video, but this is heart-rending. You know, as I say, I'm a parent. My heart truly, truly goes out to Kanika Jenkins' family tonight, and they are definitely in my prayers. And one of my prayers is that they will get to the bottom of this and they will find out what happened to this young lady. And every guilty party, if truly this young woman set up her best friend to make a couple of $100, I hope that she would get what is coming to her. Hold on, I have a call. Let me answer that. Hold on. Hello? Caller, are you there?
Hello?
Hi. I want to put you on hold just for a moment. Please don't hang up, and I'm going to open up the line in just a moment. So anyway, if this is true, that this young lady set her up her friend, and this is what truly happened, then I hope that everyone, the young men that took advantage of her and raped her, whomever it is that killed her, whatever happened, because somebody knows, somebody at that party knows what happened. Probably more than one somebody knows what happened. But how do you be so cold till you see someone being abused, you see someone, whether they were your friend or not your friend? Like I said, I wouldn't do that to an enemy, no less a friend. You are in a party. You can sneak out and call 911. You couldn't dial zero down to the front desk area. You couldn't say you needed to make an excuse and go out of the room and find some help, but you would allow this to happen. So, yeah, our children are being desensitized. Our children are getting to the place where they're cold and they're uncaring and they're unfeeling, that you will that you would set somebody up, you know, for that. And so I'm going to finish sharing my thoughts about it, but let's bring the caller on and let them share their heart. Well, hopefully the caller didn't hang up. Hold on, listening audience. I'm trying to get the caller back. Caller, are you here? Hello? Hello? Caller, are you here? I see that they haven't hung up. I'm not sure if they're not being able to hear me or I'm not being able to hear them. But caller, if you can hear me, if you can call back in, call was dropped, so hopefully they will call back in. So do be my guest tonight. The phone number to call in is 949-534-0637. Do be my guest tonight. Call in and let us talk about this. Let us talk about the fact, or do you believe it? Do you believe our children are being desensitized? Do you believe that this is an intentional thing, or this is just a byproduct of the age and the time that we live in? And so as I'm waiting for you to call in and for the caller to call back in, I want to tell you about another story that is somewhat on this line, and this person I know personally, and almost very, very similar. It didn't happen in Chicago, but it happened in another city that I lived in, and this young lady was also taken to a party or invited to a party. She went along with her friend. She did not know that the young lady had made an agreement with the young man, a house that they were going over to, that he would give her a nickel bag or a dime bag or whatever it was if she would bring this young lady over there and then make an excuse and leave, and so he could, you know, be with her. And so the young lady did it. She invited my friend over, and they went over to the guy's house with the purpose of, you know, drinking and getting high. And the young lady that invited her over made an excuse of why she had to leave. Left my friend there with the young man, and he raped her, you know. And so when she saw the friend again and asked her, you know, why did you leave me? Why would you do that to me? The young lady said, I didn't know he was going to do that. He just told me he wanted to get to know you better, you know, and I didn't know he was going to take it that far. Well, whether she knew it or not, you know, she basically set her up for a nickel bag or a dime bag or whatever it was that she got out of it. So, again, how are people's hearts so cold? And I know there are some adults that is that way, too. But I want to talk about our children. I want to talk about our young adults, because this is our future. This is our future. And if our young adults, our children are becoming so desensitized to or dehumanized that they don't even have just a normal compassion for their fellow man, I mean, what direction are we heading in here? You know, I want to ask a question. Are our children morally bankrupt, you know? And mind you, I'm not talking about every individual, because I know there's some awesome children doing some awesome things, you know, and I'm not focusing on the negative here. I just want to talk about this, and I'm honoring Kanika Jenkins' memory tonight. I just want to talk about this, and let us talk all of this out, because perhaps there's someone listening to us tonight, someone who was maybe planning to do something similar to a friend. Perhaps there is some mother's heart that is heavy tonight because maybe something happened to her child because of another child or young adult not being a caring person. Perhaps something can be said tonight that would encourage a heart, lift up a heart, inspire a heart, because I'm all about adding value to a life. So I'm not doing this episode to bring out the negatives. I really want to know what is going on, or what do you feel is going on with our children, and then what can we do? What can we do to help them? So let me go on just a little further. Oh, I do want to tell you, well, I'll wait. I'll share that with you in just a moment. Let me share just a little bit more information with you. Out of about a thousand studies and maybe about 40 years of research, it has been shown that violent media, violent music videos, violent games have a very severe effect on children and on young adults. And this is what I'm saying about it. Violence begets violence. You can't sit someone down and have them continuously just take in negativity and it not go anywhere. Because here's what I know, that our bodies have gateways. There are gateways into our spirit. There's gateways into our mind. Hold on just a second. I have a caller coming in. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Caller, are you there? For some reason, I'm not able to hear the callers that are calling in. I'm not sure what's going on. Hopefully, you can hear me. Are you there, caller? I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to call. If you're listening to me, I'm going to try to call you back. And I don't know what's going on here in the studio, but I'm not able to hear you, so I'm going to try to call you back. I'm hanging up now, and I'm going to try to call you back. So bear with me, listening audience. Let me see if I can get this caller back on the phone, and hopefully we will be able to hear them when I call them back. I apologize for the technical difficulties. I'm generally here by myself. Actually, I'm looking to hire someone to assist me on Thursdays that can kind of answer the phone and help me with some things here. So it's ringing, so let's see if we can get them back on the line.
Hello?
Hi, got you. All righty. Now I can hear you very well. And can you please state your name for the listening audience?
Hello, my name is Julian.
All right. Hi, Julian. And do you have something you want to share with us on the subject tonight?
Well, first off, that story about the young lady who died is very, very sad. I had seen something going around on Facebook last week. I believe the story got started on this past weekend, and I saw something, you know, nice, you know, young lady, and I really didn't want to look too much into it, you know, because it's so much bad news that's going around. You almost get worn out with it. Then I spoke with someone, and they kind of encouraged me to look a little bit more into it. Mm-hmm. And everything that I saw was just really disheartening, from the fact that her supposed friends encouraged her to come to that party. And I listened to and watched the video because it's a lot of confusion as to what actually happened.
Right.
From something that I was reading and I was looking up earlier today, as a matter of fact, it sounded like the hotel was almost trying to make it seem as though they didn't really know what was going on, and people felt that they were being negligent.
Right.
And people were claiming that she locked herself into the refrigerator, but they had workers that actually went down there and said, there's no way that she locked herself in that refrigerator because you have to close it from the outside.
Wow.
So just everything that's just going on is just really, really sad. And when I was watching the video while they were on Facebook Live, this guy, he actually was able to use sound dampeners, and you could actually hear some of the things that they said. And one of the girls said to the one that was holding the phone, they said, they're in there raping her. And then she said, I told them. And I was like, wow. You know, so the subject that you have tonight talking about the desensitization of the young people or this generation. Mm-hmm. You know, I really do believe that it's appropriate, but I don't know so much if it's just be. I don't know if it's just so much the young folks, because if you remember, the guy maybe about 3 or 4 months ago that went up to the older gentleman. And he shot him, you know, said that he was getting ready to shoot someone. And he shot him right on Facebook Live.
Did.
You know,
did.
In cold blood. You know, in cold blood. Yeah.
And I think shot more than one person. And, you know, you're right. And I don't think it's just the children. But I wanted to address it as far as the children and the young people in wake of what happened to this young lady, because they were, you know, young people. And then the other story that I was going to share was when the, and I think it happened a few months ago, but it happened this year, when the a group of young people kidnapped the disabled guy. You remember that? And they tortured him on Facebook, you know, on live Facebook. Maybe they need to shut Facebook Live down. I don't know.
It's something.
But something is. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's fine. I mean, I was just like trying to piggyback on what you were saying, and like, if we're pulling back the layers, it seems like it's the. I don't know if Facebook is necessarily the problem. It just gives an avenue for the problem to be seen, you know.
Exactly.
And it's like this whole rise of narcissism, you know, that's within, you know, the younger generation, where they have to have everything to be broadcast, you know, on Facebook Live, you know, and different things like Instagram and Snapchat and all of these different social media outlets are ways that people are able to do this and explores it in, you know, sometimes fortunate and good ways, but a lot of times we see it in unfortunate ways.
Yeah.
The same way that we see, you know, this with this young lady having all of these things that allegedly happened to her. We have, like, other young folks that are committing suicide on Facebook Live, you know, and it's like, what is it that's going on, you know? What kind of pain is not being unmasked or is being unmasked too late that we're seeing all of these things being played out in social media, you know, to the point where these young people are killing folks or killing themselves, you know, for attention. You know, the additional attention. So with myself,
and I would say attention, and I would also say sometimes it's entertainment. You know, sometimes it's not only are they're wanting the attention, but sometimes it's for their own entertainment, you know, their own play, their own game of whatever. But I agree with everything that you're saying. Now, I know that you are a parent and that you have children. So can you share with the listening audience what are the things that you either have in place or that you are putting in place so that your children will not become desensitized, that they will grow up with sound morals and know right from wrong and have, you know, compassion for other people?
Well, first thing with me, you know, I'm a Christian, you know, and I believe that it is very important for us to be able to find our worth, you know, through God, you know. And I don't want to be offensive to, you know, folks who are, you know, might be your listening audience, but that's something that's very, very important to me, you know.
Right.
So I make, you know, I make sure, you know, along with my wife, make sure that we pray with our children. You know, I take them to church with me. We read the Bible, different things like that, and we try to instill those sorts of values. And then another thing, you know, that I think that comes from the Christian values that I have, but it's kind of backed up with statistics. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, "Fathers provoke not your sons unto wrath." I did this study on single parent households, maybe a couple years ago, and 77%, I think it's saw like 77% of of all of the men that are in prison come from single-parent households. Around about 70 to 80% of all of the young people who become pregnant early come from single-parent households.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a slew of other things that we see. The breakdown and the destabilization of the family, I believe, is the root cause for the evil that's running amok in this generation and the generations before us also.
Yeah.
You know, once you don't have like a stable household where you're able to be shown love and you can see that worth, you won't try to find it on social media. You know,
mm-hmm.
so that's why we try to make sure myself and my wife, we try to make sure that we do everything that we can to show our kids love, to show our children love, to let them know that they're valued, and to let them always know that no matter what someone else might say, that they always have love and can find a friend, you know, not only in us, but within God. You know, so I think those are the most important things for us,
mm-hmm.
keeping God at the center and then making sure that you have a stable household where love is shown unconditionally.
Right. I agree with what you're saying, and you shared that very well, and I thank you for that. And you brought up a few things that I want to discuss during this episode, and one thing that I wanted to bring out was this bullying. You know, a
mm-hmm.
lot of children are being bullied. You talked about suicide and them committing suicide.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very dear friend that I grew up with. Her
mm-hmm.
child was almost 7 and committed suicide. And
mm-hmm.
you would ask what happens in the mind of a child that
mm-hmm.
they would – what is so heavy? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What type of
mm-hmm.
Problems do you have at that age that you no longer
mm-hmm.
want to live? And her parents
mm-hmm.
knew nothing of what was going on with the child. And every time you
mm-hmm.
saw her, she seemed to be happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so there's definitely something going on with our children. Like I say, I know there are a lot of adults that are also desensitized,
mm-hmm.
but I'm speaking more of our children because this is our future. This is the generation
mm-hmm.
that takes over, you know,
mm-hmm.
and if we don't get a hold to help them to go the right way, then we're going
mm-hmm.
to continue to see more of these things, you know, more of these suicides on Facebook and these torturing people
mm-hmm.
on, you know,
mm-hmm.
on Facebook, and who knows what is going on behind closed doors. You know, if we're seeing
mm-hmm.
so much of this live, you know,
mm-hmm.
how much more is going on behind the scenes. So thank you so much for calling in, and thank you
much
for sharing. If you have one thing you would say to our listening audience tonight, for maybe there's somebody out there discouraged, maybe they have a child that is exhibiting this type of behavior. They just seem to be uncaring, unfeeling. What would you say, if anything, to that parent?
Well, you know, as I said, you know, in the beginning, you know, I'm Christian and I believe in, you know, bringing everything to the Lord in prayer, you know, laying things at his feet and really asking him, you know, to help us through situations that are a little bit too difficult for our own hands. You know, but for the folks that who aren't a part of that fold or who aren't, you know, who might not have any kind of faith or religion that they follow, communication, you know, making sure that the lines of communication with your children are very open, that you talk to them and let them feel safe, you know, to be able to share, you know, what might be going on in their minds, you know, because, you know, hearing that story about a 7-year-old or, you know, something close, a young person that's close to 7-year-old committing suicide, that pains me because my son is 6.
Yeah.
You know, to think that my son, who I see smile and play and run around, could actually be thinking that life isn't worth living. That's just something that I just couldn't handle. You know, so I think that is just very, very important. You know, if you're saying that your children are having any kind of ways that they might be acting out, make sure you just have the communication. And then a lot of people feel that it's taboo, you know, not to seek out counseling. But I've had it. Unfortunately, I've had people who have passed in my life that were very, very dear to me. And, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes it's been a great benefit for me to be able to speak with someone, you know, who can bring about some kind of comfort to you and just let you know that you'll be able to make it through the situation that you're going through.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, just making sure you're keeping the lines of communication open. And then if you need it, you know, seeking out that additional help. Yeah,
right,
that's what I would say.
I agree. Thank you so much for calling in, Julian. We appreciate it, and I know that you were helped to the listening audience. Have a good night, and keep listening. We have all type of different discussions and so on and so forth on the show. So thank you for calling in.
All right, John. Take it easy now. Bye.
All right now. Bye-bye. Well, we appreciate Julian calling in tonight, and I think he had some, you know, he shared well, and he shared, you know, his thoughts on our subject tonight, which is the desensitization of our children. And I'm asking the question, you know, are our children truly desensitized? And if this is something that is done intentionally, is there a reason this is happening, or is it just a byproduct? Hold on a moment. I have a call coming in. Hello, caller, are you there?
Well, yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Hi there. Yes, I can hear you.
Well, how are you doing, Pastor?
I'm good, Bishop. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. You know, I'm not going to stop doing that.
You know, I know that. And listening, Austin, this is my good friend, Daryl of the Daryl Show. And I was just getting ready to say, Bishop, if you're out there, if you could call in. And before I could get that out of my mouth good, and here you are. So we're always in sync and in tune.
Yeah, I apologize. It's a little bit late. I was out getting a little bit of exercise in the park, trying to get my walk and jog in. Then I've been listening here for the last 10 or 15 minutes of the show, and I appreciate the comments of the caller as well. And you know, I appreciate you for having the foresight to, you know, to bring this issue up and put it on the table. So, you know, there's going to be a discussion about it, and we can see what's going on with the desensitization of our children and our youth. You know, it's a really big topic.
It really is. Yeah. And I know that you are a father as well, and of an adult, and then you have a young adult in your household. And so, and then I know with your background, you also deal with these type of things. So please feel free to share in whatever way you would like, you know, on the subject. If you are familiar with what happened with the young lady, Kanika Jenkins, and if not, you can speak from whatever you want, however you want to share.
Well, I know when I saw the headlines a few days ago about it, it just really kind of caught my attention. And I said, how does the young lady end up being found in a freezer at a hotel?
Right.
And, of course, if you cross your mind is, you know, I mean, how does that happen? And it's as tragic as it is. And so it began to play out several scenarios of how that might develop. And then I think even in your case, I'm sure that you probably had, you know, what you and I formerly, we used to call like checks in the spirit, where you can almost see
what
happens.
Yes.
And
yes.
Now you're just waiting for police, evidence, and the people to come forward to, you know, to own up to the events that happened. And eventually, you know, the truth is going to come to light.
Yeah.
But it's nonetheless tragic. And it happens. Things like that happen all too often. So, you know, in what you're doing here, instead of really focusing on the one isolated case, but it's indicative of so many other just aberrations that are happening with our youth. It's like, how does this happen?
Right.
You know, and, you know, we should not be losing our youth in situations, anything like this, but it's
nothing like this. You know, and in your youth, I mean, I remember when I was, you know, a teeny bopper and younger, it was about fun and being carefree. And our, you know, this generation that is coming up, they're so melancholy and so full of drama. And again, I'm just speaking in generalities. I know every person is not like this, but I'm just speaking in general. It seems that we have this generation that's coming up. They're aloof, you know, they're lethargic. They have this indifference about them, and you know, they don't have that compassion and that care and that carefree heart. You know, the way the youth used to be. Like I was just speaking of the young lady, the friend of mine whose daughter committed suicide at the age of 7. What is in, you know what I mean? It's like at 6 or 7, what were we thinking about? Making mud pies or something?
That's it. Susie Bake Ovens and Miss Beasley and
yeah, exactly.
So,
you know,
and to approach it, you know, we have to look at the culture that creates an environment where these types of things happen. And if you get down to the base of it, and I think you're really heading, I mean, you the caller had some really, really fine points. The previous caller, when he was talking about, you know, the absent parent in the home.
Right.
But that's really not something. It's much broader than simply the fact that the parent's not there. Or there's an absent parent, or there's a single mother, or a single father raising a family on their own, because there's economic and political issues that have successfully, you know, devised to make that happen. And so we've got to find creative ways to solve those issues. And the incarceration and the problems that we have in our disparities in our criminal justice system. So it's not that the parents are absent. You know, the system was divided and designed to make that happen. And so we still got to make there. But if we want to look from the other sense, if you look at, you know, I had the privilege, this was maybe 4 or 5 years ago, as incredible as this might sound, when you look at the culture, you know, there was a really big music producer. He was affiliated with like the top labels in the industry. And he recruited some big name labels, you know, YouTube and YouTube and I mean, just some really big bands. Big artists, and even people like, you know, Lil Wayne. And I don't want to reveal his name, but he said even himself, when you're embedded in that industry, and you know, he said it in really, really, it just very candid terms, he wanted to get out. He found people that had conscious music, and at the time I was talking to him with our group, Conscious Global Youth Network, about what we can do to collaborate and get more conscious music out there instead of this rap, she's a hoe, get my money thing.
Right.
And he said
exactly.
He had wanted to bring conscious artists and to sign them onto the label, but the industry conspired and says, no, that's not what we want. And basically he says they want this trash gang banging, dehumiliating, dehumanizing females.
Yeah.
And this is the they promote. And so it's as if there is a deliberate design to dumb down the culture where we can depersonalize, desensitize people about the nature of women. And so we have all these videos that celebrate the big booty and all that other glamour. And if you got the right car, it's all about getting the flash and the cash and the gangbangers. And that's deliberate.
Yeah,
so
I believe so.
Yeah, they're still pumping that stuff. And he said the only way to get out of it is, you know, he was trying to find a way to leave the industry. You know, but the salary that he was making, we couldn't bring him over to our side because there's no way we could afford to do that. But the point simply is, you know, we buy into that and we celebrate it and our youth get caught up in it.
Yeah.
So we got that aspect. And then you look at the gaming industry, you know, how many times everybody's doing these, I don't know, what other popular games are that people are doing on their Xbox 360s and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the average young person kills about 30,000 or 40,000 people a week.
You got that right. You got that right. Yeah. And that was something that I was going to. So I'm glad that you brought that out. I was going to that before the caller called and forgot to go back to it. But you're right. I got what I have is that the average American child witnesses about 200,000 violent acts and 16,000 murders within a week time. That's what else are they going to do or be like? Because you and I understand that whatever it is that you're internalizing, you're going to manifest. I mean, you're planting seeds. It's got to produce. It has to go somewhere.
Right.
You can't sit in front of violence or whatever it is, and you're sitting there, whatever the negative stimulus is, you're sitting there hours upon hours upon hours upon hours, and then that seed is being planted. And what I had started to say earlier is that there are gateways, you know, our eyes are a gateway, our ears are a gateway, our mouths are a gateway, and then, you know, women have a gate. But right. These things are going in within, you know, they're being planted within our spirit, they're being planted within our soul. And so those things are seeds, and they have to manifest. What do we think is going to happen if we're programming our children and our young adults with these type of things? I mean, it's hitting them from every place, the TV, the movies, the videos, the music videos, the games that they're watching. I mean, it's hitting them from so many places. Can we really expect for them to be anything else but what they are internalizing?
And you can't, but you know, the thing is, you know, and you're absolutely right, because all of those things they're not healthy, and they're not good for anybody's mental health, you know, and anybody,
right.
It's like we talked about before. I think we had a discussion before we talked about, you know, a great book, As a Man Thinketh, So Is He.
Right.
You know,
yes.
And so
yes.
Whatever falls in mind, that's what's going to grow. So you got good thoughts and good things, that's going to grow. But if you got negative thoughts or bad experiences falling in your mind, that's what's going to grow, unless you go back and you like figuratively get into your mental garden, and you got to pick those weeds out.
You
cultivate your garden, then you have these aberrations of behavior. And I think we're really at a time where we're even becoming more polarized. The people who are conscious are becoming more conscious, and the people who just don't get it are even getting it even less, you know. Almost as if they're soulless, you know, like the guy caller talking about, this guy that was, you know, shot this guy in cold blood, you know, just because he just had a bad day, you know, killed a few people.
Right.
Almost such nephish people, to where we I think your title was just perfect when you said the desensitization, to where you can almost thingify a person, where they're not a person, it's just a thing.
That's what I'm saying.
Movies that make a not a woman, she is just a thing. You know, you can kill things, you can destroy things.
There you go. You know? See, that's the angle. That's the angle in which I wanted to approach this from, because this is what's happening. And I think on one of our shows, previous shows, and I believe you were here with me, we talked about how when Hitler wanted to do, you know, when he wanted to wipe out the Jews, how before he stepped out in his plan, he dehumanized them first. He made them just, like you say, a thing. And so you can kill a thing, you can gas a thing, you can incarcerate a thing, you know. And so that was his program before he started, you know, putting them in death camps and things. He started this propaganda against them that they were this and they were that, and they looked this way, and they, you know, and so people begin to not see them as human, you know. And the same thing happened with the black culture, you know, when if they didn't see us as human, you can enslave us, you can kill us, because we're not human, we're it. You know, and so and that's what I see with this, Bishop, this is what I see when I talk about the desensitization of our children, our young adults. I see this, as you said, this is something that is intentional. And I see this as either when you want to enslave a culture or enslave a people, you dehumanize them in people's eyes, or you do it the reverse way, which when they become dehumanized, you get what I mean?
Exactly.
And this is what I see happening with our children and our young adults. They're becoming so they watch so much violence and they see so many things going on and hear so much, like you say, this music that downrates and downplays women, and women become this just a symbol for, hey, take her in the back and rape her, no big deal. It's just a big booty. You know what I mean? It's no compassion, that this is a person, this is a woman, this is a living thing, this is somebody's mama, somebody's daughter, somebody's sister, so on and so forth. And we just become this symbol for sex, you know, and that's somehow that music is going. So when people, now you have the children who are watching this because they watch it on the videos, the videos are almost raping women. You know what I'm saying? Almost, very close. You know, and they're shooting people in the videos and in the games, and they're doing all of this. So when people, when the young adults and the children see it before their eyes, it's like watching the movie.
It is. It used to be that, you know, the saint was. Yeah, it used to be that they would perform art, but art would imitate life, and life was beautiful. But now we have just the opposite. We've got life trying to imitate art. You know, and the art is fiction, but people can't make the distinction. It's not real.
Can't make the distinction. Because how do you go, and I'm just speaking again, I'm going to speak, you know, just touch on the story that kind of started this discussion, Kanika Jenkins. How do you as a friend, allegedly, how do you as her friend make a deal with somebody to, you know, cause harm to her? Because you're so desensitized to people being hurt and things happening, because you listen to it all the time. Kill that bee. You know what I mean? You're hearing that stuff all the time in your ears, and you're watching these programs where the, you know, people are taking advantage of other people. So it doesn't mean anything. You don't feel any type of you're right. You don't feel anything. You don't feel anything. And I'm going to say this, and I'm probably going to get in trouble with some people. And I said I was going to try not to say it, but it keep rising up. So I'm just going to have to say it. Another thing.
That's how we flow, right?
That's how we flow. Long as you got my back, Bishop. Here's something that, and you know I'm all for people living there happy. And I encourage people to live their happy, but I don't encourage you to live your happy at the expense of somebody else's unhappiness. And so if your happy is going to a party and setting somebody up, that ain't living your happy, because you're causing harm to someone else. But here is what I want to say. And I'm you know, people, do whatever you feel is best for you, and watch what you want, what you think you want to watch. But I have a real challenge with some of the programs, and I'm kind of going a little bit, it's more adults and young adults probably that watch these programs. But I have a real challenge with these programs that are coming out, like Empire. I have a real challenge with Power. And the reason I have a challenge with them is they don't show people advancing or their progression in a positive way. It's always about doing somebody else in or getting ahead in some kind of undercover way. You know, I'm going to be with you just because I want to be with you. I don't care if you marry, kind of thing. And we're applauding this. I don't get it. I'm sorry, y'all. I don't get it. And I'm not trying to judge anybody. I'm just saying I don't understand. I don't understand why we're being entertained by negative. Further, I'm going to go a little further to say, I know that the people who wrote these shows, I don't know about Power, because I know the least about Power, but I'm going to say with not Empire. What is that other one that don't come on as much anymore? Darn it.
I don't know.
It was real popular last year, but it's not as popular this year. It may come to me before God bring it to my attention. It may come to me, but it's very similar to Empire when the young lady was involved with the mistress of the president, and I can't think of that. But anyway, the person that wrote that was a black person, and I don't see how it's a positive for black, how there is a positive image in that. I don't see how there is a positive image in Empire, you know. And so I don't get it. I don't get how we feed ourselves with these type of programs. Am I saying that we shouldn't have entertainment? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying perhaps, just perhaps, we could find a little more positive entertainment than some of these things, because I don't see how these things are benefiting us. You know, I don't see, I just don't. And I know a lot of people that watch those shows, Christians and non-Christians. And I don't, like I say, you do your thing, but I just have a real challenge with it. I have a challenge with, when we're feeding ourselves a lot of negativity, and then we are expecting positive things to manifest in our lives and in the lives of our children. You know, one of my biggest sayings is perspective is everything. And listen, guys, you may think that you can sit and feed yourself this kind of stuff over and over again. I don't care if you're watching it just once a week, twice a week, or you binge watching it or whatever. But I promise you this. This is something I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Whatever you feed your spirit is going to manifest somewhere. And if we're sitting around and we are pouring into our spirits through videos or movies or programs, infidelity, and you're having problems in your marriage, ask yourself why. It has to manifest somewhere. Honestly, it has to manifest. You know something, Bishop? I live by myself because, you know, all my children are grown and gone, got their own families. And I don't watch. I'm going to tell you something I used to absolutely love, Law and Order. That was my show. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, I'd get excited when I hear that. That was my show. But, you know, I don't watch that no more. You know why? Because I live alone. And so I don't need to feed myself fear.
I got to tell you, you know, I'm Facebook live streaming, and there's a few people that have wanted to share a comment that they're saying. But, you know, mm-hmm. Sarah's saying that, you know, the little ones are singing awful lyrics these days, and she kind of sighs.
Yes.
Amen. To say that you are absolutely right, and they call it programming for a reason. And you know what they say? Just like they tell you, return you to your regular program, your regular programming. And that's exactly what's going on.
Oh my God, Bishop, that'll preach. That'll preach.
It's a sermon. And you know, and I thought before I read that, I was thinking just like a computer. You know, if you put garbage in the computer, you're going to get garbage out. If you
garbage
put garbage
out.
In your brain, you're going to get. Now, for me, you know, I frankly, in the last several years, I very rarely even turn my TV on, you know.
Mm-hmm. You're like
unless
me.
Unless I'm watching a show on Netflix with my son or something like that.
Right.
If it's on, I'm listening to jazz or something. I'm just listening to a music station because I'm trying to. You just most of it is just junk. Of course, unless
it's
I'm following
garbage.
The news.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's just garbage, you know.
Really
and people say, it's just entertaining. It's just entertainment. No, it's more than that. And like you say, the more conscious we become, the more we are understand that. But when you're still sleepwalking, you don't understand that these things are manifesting in your life, and we wonder why. You know, we have, you know, some of the challenges that we're having in our lives. But I would say just pause for a moment and check out what you're feeding your spirit, what you're feeding your soul, what you're feeding your mind. Just check it out, and you're going to see the manifestations in your life. I promise you that. I know that to be true. I really know that to be true. So when I moved to San Diego, and like I say, because I live by myself, and I didn't know I'd have made some friends, woohoo! But before that, I didn't know anyone that lived in the city and had never been to the city, so I didn't sit around and feed my spirit, my mind, my soul with a bunch of who killed a kind of people. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't dare watch that kind of stuff, because I know if I sat and watched that, then I'm going to put that fear within me, and I'm going to start attracting those kind of things to show up in my life. And so it's important what our children are watching. It's important what our young adults are watching. Not only what they're watching, what are they listening to? You know, and our kids are so sexy today, I can't hardly take it. So sexy, you know, and they shouldn't be.
Well, no, and that's where I think, you know, I've had several conversations with Michael, and sometimes because, you know, when you don't know what life really is, and, you know, we don't have a culture now where people, you know, young people don't get out, you know, they don't go out and visit people like they used to. They don't get on a bicycle or walk down the street.
It's true.
You know, they do most stuff by working, and their friends are on Facebook, and they don't have much social interaction, so they don't know what real interactions with real people and real relationships necessarily are. And what informs them is, you know, with TV and in videos. And so the adults, you know, and for people that have young people in your lives, you know, you really need to sit down and talk to people, to the younger people, and let them know that, you know, this is not real. This is not real life. You know, you can have that life, you can see that life, but that's got tragic consequences, that there are other options to what is real. And don't drink the but sometimes you really got to sit down and let them know. Yeah, because you know how people get excited, they're watching a TV program, say, why did he do that? Why did he do it? No, don't go in there. And when you see that, that's a clue that they are trapped in a wrong reality, that they can respond to a movie and not realize that that's entertainment. He says, and other kids is talking about, well, Dad, you know, this girl, you know, this, and so-and-so said this about her. And I remind him, you know, says, you know what, but would he said that if her father or her brother was standing there? Says, what if you had a sister? What if somebody said that about your mother? How do you feel?
Right. And you hit it on the head. You opened up something when you said that. I just started to, my spirit just started to going. When you said, they are because they don't have this social interaction with people, that we're doing everything now through social media and through the phone and so on and so forth. We don't have very limited, I would say, our young people are having very little reenaction with people. Actual people. Yeah. And when you said that, you know, and when you start talking about how then that they can't separate reality from what is not real, is because social media and all of that, like you said, is becoming real. That's real to them. And so when you are sitting around and you are seeing all of this stuff happen on the movie and on video, and you don't really get out into the world, then when you see someone being hurt or killed or whatever, it don't mean anything, because it's just like watching another video. It's just like watching another movie. And then sometimes, you know, we've been so desensitized that children often think, okay, say they've seen this one their favorite actor get killed on this episode of Humpty Dumpty, but then when they turn over here to the cat show, there that actor is again. So it takes away that sting of death or that reality of death as well, you know. And so, wow, man, I tell you, you know, I truly believe, because I read the end of the book, I know everything is going to be all right. But it's these times that are very challenging to me, because I'm one of them sensitive souls. I know people don't think that of me when they think about me. You know, they just think about, you're so strong. But I am a very sensitive soul, and these type of things just really kind of weigh, you know, on my heart a little bit, and then I have to kind of work that through that, you know, and work through that, the energy of that. And so I wanted to have this discussion, you know, in the honor of Kanika Jenkins, because I don't want what happened to her just to be another, oh, well, she was found in a freezer, less next kind of thing, you know. My heart truly does go out to her family. I can, you know, like I say, I can only imagine, but really I can't even imagine what that would be like. And I'm really, 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 because like you say, you know, the truth always comes out, that what's in the dark will come to the light, and that her parents will at least know what happened. I think when you that not knowing, not having that closure, really is very, very challenging. Very challenging. So
and I didn't mean to. I was trying to monopolize, but I did want to make maybe one point.
No, go right
and
ahead.
Again, to the family of Kanika, and
yeah,
as tragic as that was, I would say to every young person that might be listening or will be listening, and every parent, you know, just to make sure that, particularly daughters, you know, I've just got boys. And so when you have boys, you know, just, I'll be candid. Say, when you have boys, you only got to worry about one swinging dick. When you
That's
got girls,
right.
You got to worry about, But, you know, the reality of it is we live in a culture where male superiority is still a problem. You know, it's just as bad as all the other isms. Sexism,
yeah.
But you realize we live in a culture where women are sexualized and they're actually degraded and made almost like things, like we're talking about here. And so for young women, you know, don't, you know, number one, believe in yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and don't let anybody sell you cheap or to look at you as just a body or
right.
I hate to say, but almost like a piece of meat, you know, because some
true,
men do.
Though, Bishop. It's true.
Body. You know, and so be careful and use some more discernment and common sense, and don't put yourself in a position to hang around. I don't care how sexy and all the sweet things that they say about you.
Right.
If they don't appreciate you as a human being and as a person, then that's somebody that doesn't need to be part of your life. And life is so dangerous today. You know, you could just be like Kanika. You can just be one mistake away from
a cemetery. One mistake, you know. One mistake, one saying, yeah, I'll come to the party. You know, just that one mistake in trusting the wrong person. And I don't want to tell people not to trust people, but I do want to emphasize, as you're saying, who to trust. And discernment is just so necessary. And I don't know how do you teach our children and our young people how to have discernment, or maybe it's just being intuitive, that when you get that alarm, because that is in everybody. And I think young people and children is probably even stronger because they have not been as programmed. Can I say it that way? And so think that that intuitiveness is in them, but they just need to learn to listen to it. And so when you walk into a situation, young people or parents that are out there, and you want to teach your children how to be more discerning, when you walk into a situation and you feel that uneasiness, or you feel like something inside of you is like woom woom woom, like you remember that old robot on Lost in Space, Bishop, danger,
Robinson. Yeah, dude,
yes.
Yeah.
And so
get out of there. Unasked supremacy.
Get out of there. Don't go.
Yeah.
Get out of there, because there is something within that will always speak. It will always speak. And that is our source, our God, that great creator. We are connected to that, whether you are Christian or not Christian. God is in everybody. And that source, that spirit, that energy will speak, but you have to train your ears to listen. And how many times have we said, I should have followed my first mind? Well, that first mind is source speaking to you. That first mind is the spirit speaking to you. So I can't tell you how many times as a young person, I mean, it happens, of course, now, but as a young person, not even knowing who God was, I can't tell you how many times something, that alarm went off on the inside of me and said, don't go there. Or that alarm went off on the inside of me and said, don't get in that car. You know, I'm going to tell this quick story. I went down to Arkansas when I was a young girl. I think I was 14 or 15 years old. I don't know why my mom let me go, probably because I've always had the gift of gab and I talked her into it. And so I traveled by myself. We had from Chicago to Helena, Arkansas. And so we had a layover in Memphis, and this lady came up to me, and, you know, I've always been a friendly person. I'd make a friend with a doorknob, you know. And so she came to me, and she was talking to me, you know, and hi, and are you traveling by yourself, and blah, blah, blah. And, of course, I'm being friendly, and I'm just talking, telling her, you know, where I'm going, how long my layover is, and so on and so forth. And so she's an adult now. I'm 15, 14, 15. She's an adult. She's a woman. And so she says, well, come go with me. And so I'm following her around, and we're walking around the bus station, and we ran into these guys that were baggage handlers. And the guy looked at me and he said, little girl, he said, why are you with this woman? This is a bad lady. You don't need to be with this woman. But she's shushing up. Hush, boy, you know, be quiet. Come on. And so let's go. And so she took me outside, and she said, you want to go get something to eat? I know a good restaurant, so we don't have to eat here in the bus station. I know a good restaurant. And so she hails a cab. The cab slows down, and then she gets in the cab, and she says, come on. When I made that motion to get in the car, something inside of me cried out like that robot, danger, danger. I didn't hear those words, but it was like this alarm went off in me, and I knew that I wasn't supposed to get in that cab. I pulled my foot back and shut that door, and she kept saying, get in the car. But because it was a busy street, the cab driver had to take off. God knows where I would have ended up. God knows what would have happened to me. But I listened to that part within me that spoke to let me know that wasn't a good situation. And I know that is within everybody. I'm willing to say that Kanika had something speaking inside of her. She may not have understood it. Maybe she just felt a little uncomfortable, and maybe she just felt something was a little off. You know how we get that feeling? I mean, something's just a little off.
Yeah. Decide. I'll hang in there for a few more minutes. Maybe something like that. We won't know. But I will add this. You know, I had a program I did several months ago, and I called it PMS for Men. And I'm just going to tell on the men here, but it stands for, and it was a 2-hour program, but it stands for power, money, and sex. And that's one of the problems that men have. And because men have that problem, until men fix that problem, women are going to be victims of that problem. Men have problems with power, money, and sex. And I would think that Kanika here was a victim of one of those three things. And
right,
I would say
I
to all, you know, until a man can show you or make you comfortable that he doesn't have male PMS, you know, then you kind of, where they say feed him with a long handled spoon, you know, because you don't know. And the culture feeds those things still. You know, it was the same culture that said it was okay to enslave African-Americans. It dehumanized the African-Americans. But that was the same system that Hitler used to dehumanize Jews that would get exterminated.
Same thing.
When we was kids playing cowboys and Indians, we thought it was cool to kill Indians because of the image we got.
It's the truth.
It's the same PMS that it's okay to dehumanize women in this country. You know, the same country says the greatest country in the world, but the guys that designed this country, he wouldn't even let his own mother vote.
Isn't that something?
Own property. It was founded on PMS, you know?
So where are we going?
You just assume that. And we got to educate our men to understand how to appropriately share power. And to not become abusive or controlling with our ideas that we've been conditioned to, and recondition our minds, just like you said, rerun the program, and let's talk to people. And it's going to take this just awareness. And if you're not dealing with conscious people right now, then, you know, I don't know why you would want to deal with anybody else. Because a lot of fools out there.
Exactly.
You got PMS.
And you know what? We're going to have to, you know what's coming now. We're going to have to do a PMS revisited or something on the Happy Mind, Happy Life show. I'm going to have to set that up, and we're going to have to do that. Hold on 1 second. I got a call coming in. Let's see who's on the line. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
How are you? I can hear you
I
now.
I am good.
Very well. And who
okay.
am I speaking with?
This is Rashida.
Bishop's on the line, Rashida.
Hi, Rashida. Pastor Darrell. Hi.
Oh, my
God. How are you? How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Wonderful to hear from you. Man, it's been a minute.
I know, right? I'm doing really good. I'm doing really, really good. Not to complain.
She
right. well,
always tell me to
girls,
tell you hi, and I always forget. So I'm glad she's on the line so she can tell you herself.
Hello.
My heart goes out to you. You got twin girls, right?
I have a girl that's 7, and I have a little boy who will be 4 on Monday.
Okay. All right. Well, one girl, that you got to have.
Huh?
And you got one girl, that means you got to have one gun.
We have that taken care of.
In these days and time, maybe two. But
I know,
Rashida,
right?
Did you want to speak on our discussion tonight? Did you want to share something on your heart tonight?
Yeah. I live in Chicago, you know, so I'm kind of, I don't want to say used to it, but I hear these kind of crazy stories all the time. But this story with Kanika, like, really, really bothered me. And I think because I have a little girl, you know, that's 7, and she's going to be 19 one day, you know, she's going to have friends, she's going to go to parties, she's going to do all of this. And so I think the situation with Kanika is very unfortunate. But I think with this generation, I think that one thing that we need to, like, really teach our children is, like, what friends really are. Like, I don't think someone is really, like, teaching them, like, just because you hang out with these girls at school, just because you play with them outside, just because you may see them at church, that doesn't necessarily make them your friend. Like, a friend has
to
prove themselves first before you just, like, you're my friend. You know, they are characteristics of a friend. And it just doesn't mean because I talk on the phone with you, then that's the characteristic of a friend. Like, a friend has to show themselves trustworthy. They have to show themselves loyal. They have to show themselves a person that truly cares about you. And I think a lot of kids in this generation, they're just calling people their friends because they don't have, they're looking for love in all the wrong places. They don't have, you know, people in their life that is community, accountability partners, all of that stuff. So they don't really know what a friend is. And they just want somebody to like them. They just want to feel accepted.
Yeah.
As soon as someone comes and say, I accept you, it's like, oh, this is my girl. But you don't know nothing about them, you know? And so I think that it's really unfortunate. And I just think, I feel as a parent, and I never thought that I'd be able to say this out of my own mouth, I was raised by an old school mom and a strict mother.
Yep.
And I never, when I grew up, I was like, I'm not going to be a strict mom. I'm going to let my kids do this. I'm going to let my kids do that. So now that I'm a mom, I am that strict mom. I am that strict parent. Okay, go ahead. Go out of here. Sorry, my kids are in the background. But I am that strict parent. And I think our parents need to go back to, like, that old school mentality with our children.
Mm.
We need to be in their everyday lives. Like, what are you doing? Who are you talking to? Who are you on Facebook with? What do you have on? Who are you going? Like, if maybe if her mom, and no shade against her mom, I'm just saying, like, if her mom maybe would have grilled her about what kind of party are you going to? Who's going to be at this party? Whatever.
Yeah.
But I think today we're so consumed with, like, we want our children to like us. We want our children to be our friend. We want to be cool with our kids. We don't want them to be mad at us. But it's like, it's
cool
not
mom.
Our role. Yeah, it's not. I mean, I think I want to be a cool mom, too. Like, I want my daughter to like me, but not at the expense of her life. Not at the expense of me protecting her. Not at the expense of me, you know, stewarding her in the right direction. And I think that's what we need to get back to as parents. We need to get back to being all up in our kids' business. What are you doing? There's no closed doors in here. There's no, I can watch whatever I want to watch on YouTube. There's
right.
I can be with whoever I want to be with on Facebook. Like, whose party are they going to? Where are their parents? Are there going to be parents there? Like, we need to get back to that, and that's helping our children. But a lot of our parents aren't doing that because they want to live their own lives. And a lot of our parents have had children when they're young. So now that these kids are getting older, they want to resume their own lives, but not at the expense of their baby. Like, God put these kids in our lives to steward over their lives and to lead them in the direction that they need to go. And at this time, like, who's going to lead our world? These kids are jacked up, general. We talk about generally, not all kids, but generally.
Did we lose you, Rashida? You're breaking up on us.
I'm sorry, can you hear me better?
Yeah, we can hear you now. You was preaching real good. We want you to keep
sorry.
Up.
The signal in my house is really bad. But I'm just saying that, like, that's just my viewpoint. I just think that parents just need to get back to old school parenting.
Yeah,
and I think that we need to teach our children what friends are. And then I also think that we need to get back to the whole village mentality, like it takes a village to raise a child.
Yes.
Because parents are at work, they're at school, they're single parenting. You know, and parents can't be everywhere at once, everywhere
that's
at
true.
The same time. But if we have a community of people, accountability people, that are looking out for our children when we can't be in blah-blah. But these days it's hard to do that because you say something to a child, they want to talk back. They want to be disrespectful. But that's because nobody has instilled fear in their hearts. Like, I know in my generation, you can't talk back to people. Like, you couldn't do that.
Sure
that wouldn't be even acceptable.
No.
Like, it was consequences for that. But these days and age, there's no consequences. So I think all of those things that we start getting back to old school parenting, praying for our children, stop trying to be our children's friends. Stop trying to do that and then use situations like this as teachable moments.
Yeah,
not just like,
excellent.
Oh, I'm sorry about what happened.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about what happened to Kanika. Like, not just saying that, but gathering your kids together and showing them, like, this is what can happen if you're around people that are not your friends. My baby is 7, but I had the friend talk with her concerning this situation. Of course, I couldn't tell her everything because she's small, but I still can teach her, like, what friends are. And just because you see someone, that doesn't make you friends. So that's my intake on it. That's what I think, you know, that we can do as a generation to get. Okay, honey. I'm
Thank
sorry, my kids
are in the background. Very excellent, Rashida. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing that. That
no
was
problem.
Really good. That was really good.
No
Thank you so much. All righty. Thank
you. Love you guys.
Love you guys.
Too.
Love you too.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Hey, Bishop, I think I did something right, huh?
You did it absolutely right. You know, and as I'm listening to her and I'm thinking, I look at the relationship that y'all had, you know, and I know the values that you instilled in her, and she's come back to appreciate it. So, yeah, you absolutely did it with
God is gracious.
It was all three of them, you know. You did an amazing job. And even spite of what the caller said earlier, I mean, you did that solo, you know, single mother.
And I wanted to mention that.
I'm sure some nights, but you did it.
Woo! Listen, I could write a book about that. But I want to encourage some single parents, mothers, maybe even fathers that are out there. It is challenging to be a single parent, but you can do it. And you can do it, I hate to say right and wrong, but I'm going to say you can do it in a beneficial way for yourself and for your children. So don't be discouraged. I agree, you know, that there are some perhaps single parent homes that may be in a deficit because of that. But you can raise your children well, and you can raise them to be productive adults. I have 5 children. And they all are doing exceptionally well. And I know it was won by the grace of God. I have to give him the credit first. And then he gave me the wisdom on what to do. And when you're going through it, it's you know, it's very challenging. Like you say, Bishop, there's some nights I may have to go to bed in tears and wake up in tears. But they came out well, you know, they came out well, and I'm very grateful and very thankful for that. I do agree with what Rashida is saying. We have to use this as a teachable moment for our children and for our young adults to show them, you know, that everybody that says they're your friend ain't your friend. I mean, even Jesus said that. He said, everybody that say, Lord, Lord, they don't even know me. So, you know, he even knew that. So everybody that say they with you, everybody that say they're on your team and they're your squad, just may not necessarily be so. So use some discernment out there. You know, we want you to be safe. And then I want to speak to the parents. You know, I think one of the things that may be a challenge, I'm trying to say this in a way because I don't want to offend anybody, but again, I've been a single parent, so I understand the weight of that, and I understand having to work all day and then come home and you have to be mom and dad and teacher and the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker. And I get it, you know, but sometimes we are allowing TV to raise our children because we're tired. You know, because we have so many things to do, we have set our child down in front of the TV, and sometimes we're not checking. We're not checking to see what they're watching. We're not checking to see if, well, maybe they started on this, but when they see that you're not looking, they've changed to another channel. We're not checking the phones. We give them the phone and then we just let them have at it. Sometimes we don't even have parental control on these devices. And so all kinds of stuff can come up on a computer, on a phone. I mean, I have been searching things and stuff come up that make me blush, and I'm 60, you know? And so if it make me blush, what do you think it does to your children? But I have sense enough to cut off, you know, cut some of that, you know, I mean, cut that stuff off. But the children are curious. They may not turn it off. So we have to just be a little more hands-on. And how do you do that as a single parent when you're tired and you got so much going on, but yet you have to raise these children? Well, inbox me. Let's talk about it, you know, because there is a way. There is a way to raise your children effectively, you know, it truly is. And so let's pay just a little bit more attention to our children. We're about 3 minutes at the close of the hour. Bishop, you know, I am always happy to have you here.
I'm always delighted.
Thank you. You just add so much wisdom, you know. And I'm serious about us getting together. I got to look at a date and I'll come back to you and see if it'll work for you. But we need to come and do a show, PMS part two, revisit it, whatever you want to call it. But I think that would be a very – say it again, Bishop.
We do. And, you know, my male brothers, you know, we need that as much as our sisters, you know, the women need it. But, you know, men are in denial and they need to really kind of own where they're at and come to appreciation of what we're doing to oppress or suppress or brainwash our young men and how they treat our sisters and our daughters and our mothers. Yeah. And on this case, I just want to echo again. I know you're getting ready to close, but, you know, I just was reminded of a scripture where, you know, there was a census being done and they took Jesus in to do the census when they were leaving with, you know, Joseph and Mary. They had traveled a whole day, from what the text tell us, before they realized that Jesus wasn't with them.
Yeah.
They went a whole day. Now, I'm sure Mary thought that he was with
Joseph,
Mary. But the significance of the story that I'm pointing here is how they went a whole day's journey before they realized they left something precious behind.
Wow.
And they had to go before they could go forward. And I think as a culture, that's where we're at. You know, we've gone a whole day's journey and we've left some precious values behind. We need to go back.
Sir.
Our young people need to go back. And some of them really don't know what values they are. They left behind. And that's why, you know, elders, we have dialogue, and a lot of indigenous people, you know, they're honoring their elders, and the elders are reaching out across the generations. But we've got to do that. I think we've got to build that bridge across the generations so that they can understand what it is that they're missing, because we know what it is because we had it.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree.
And
I agree.
So we got to go back. before we can go forward.
That was good. That was real good. Thank you for sharing that. That was really good. And we're going to wrap up now. I want to say that, Bishop, I'm going to be putting together a women's empowerment seminar for the month of November. I would very much love for you to be a part of that, so I'll be in touch with you regarding that. And they're counting down on me, so let me wrap it up here. Thank you all for listening to tonight's discussion. I pray that it was of value to you in some type of way. And as always, you know, we're here for you. We're here to help. We're here to add value to your life. So you have been listening to the Happy Mind, Happy Life Show with your host, Sheila Willis. And until next time, keep living your happy.